Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our July 10th service. Our speaker, Joanna Sanders, topic is How to Get Real. The music following Joanna's talk is Baroque Suite, performed by the Ladies' Chamber Orchestra and Benevolent Society. Thanks for listening.
My father passed away about 3 years ago, and this morning I thought I would call my stepmother. I'm feeling a little nervous, and I thought I'll call her and let her know that I'm doing this today, and she'll be thinking about me. So I called, and she didn't answer, but the answering machine picked up, and it was my dad's voice. Sorry, we're not here to take your call right now, but leave it. It was just the message, right? I left the message that that's exactly what I needed to hear. It was my dad's voice. So I also heard that there was going to be an overcast day today and that the sun wouldn't be shining in this window. But I'm looking at that as my dad shining down on me today. I'd like to read a quote from Howard Thurman. Some things worth having defy logic. They come with obstacles, challenges, battles, and long periods of wandering in the dark. The responsive reading printed in your order of service was from a book titled The Gifts of Imperfection. And its subtitle is, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are. Another subtitle, subtitle, Your Guide to a Wholehearted Life by Dr. Brené Brown. And as a human behavior researcher, she's been involved in research on a range of topics, including vulnerability, courage, worthiness, and shame. And I worked through each of these guideposts in a book group and creative journaling exercise with a small group of friends and had some breakthrough moments that started some emotional shifts. Letting go and rediscovering what was lost. There have been two themes that I've noticed in several other summer Sunday services. One is transition, and the other is vulnerability. So I begin by acknowledging some of my recent transitions. With my two daughters now away at college, I have an empty nest. I ended a 20-year marriage, sold the family home, and just last weekend, I'm very excited to say, I moved into my own home in this neighborhood. Big transitions. Sharing the details of my personal life has been difficult, even with close friends. So this must be the ultimate act of bravery. Practicing being vulnerable in front of all of you. As a researcher, Brené Brown collected stories from men and women about how they lived authentically, and she saw repeated behavior patterns, which she boils down to these 10 guideposts. These are daily practices that wholehearted men and women incorporate into their lives. And I want to talk about two of them. The first one is cultivating play and rest and letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol. Work first, then play was the family motto. And while I'm proud of the amount of work that I get done in a day, I hardly noticed that it was a long list of never-ending duties and obligations. Often I heard myself say that if I slowed down too much, I would just fall over and may not be able to get up. Hiding behind an armor of my endless list of tasks, I powered through my days. And not until talking about it with friends did I realize that there was nothing in the list for me, purely for my enjoyment. It's not surprising that after sitting at a desk Monday through Friday, that on the weekend, I would fill my days with physical activities. It felt good to organize, clean, hang the laundry on the clothesline, and do yard work, etc., around the house. It was movement. My life seemed pretty balanced. I had good friends, good diet, exercise, sleep, a spiritual community. But I was not connecting or sharing my daily struggle. I also heard from friends and coworkers that I took myself too seriously. I needed to relax, lighten up. Slowly growing was an undercurrent of restlessness, irritability, and resentment at being stuck in my list of tasks. And until I started digging deeper, I wasn't sure of the reasons. I found feelings of not being enough in humor, intelligence, or creativity, or not having enough money to travel, talent, or really good hobby. And the negative self-message tape ran on and on. I can't. I don't know. Or constantly comparing myself to others. I enjoyed the physical work around the house and had a capable body. So what was clear was that whatever I did take up needed to be in a physical form. Starting to play. So one idea thrown out from a close friend that did take root was to get together some friends and play basketball. Now the definition of play, in case you are as foreign to it as I am, is engaging in activity for enjoyment and recreation rather than a serious or practical purpose. It's a little embarrassing to admit that I'd forgotten how to play. So certainly there have been times such as playing with my own kids or kick the can or softball at family UU camp that I loved playing. Capture the flag, wow. Really fun. But that's just for kids, right? Well, for basketball, we picked a date, asked some friends to get together. We laughed and played a little and went out to dinner and said, well, let's set up another date. That was fun. A regular schedule was established a couple of days a week. And since many of us had never played before, including me, we laid out some simple safety rules and taught each other what we knew about the game. I was self-conscious, had never played before other than shooting around. But basketball was a big part of my life as an Indiana Hoosier. Basketball hoops are everywhere. So playing horse and pig or whatever and shooting around was, I did do that as a kid a lot. But I knew the sport only as a spectator, primarily, not as a player. Now, what if someone were watching and sees that I don't have the skills, like dribbling particularly? I'd feel silly. But I always felt that the battle, half the battle to exercise, is getting the gear on. And once you're there, you might as well do something. So soon I began each weekend suiting up in my long basketball shorts, with two balls underneath my arms and my bag of gear. And I would yell out, "I'm leaving for basketball." And my daughter, also a basketball player, would yell back, "You go, Mom." It's my cheerleader. So once on the court with friends, we started laughing and carrying on, and my self-consciousness dissipated, dribbling around the court, doing some drills, shooting layups, before we played 30 minutes of full court basketball. 3-on-3, 4-on-4, sometimes 5-on-5, whoever showed up. It was very casual. And after several years, our team, the Port Townsend Drizzle, in contrast to the WNBA team, the Seattle Storm, still doesn't keep score or have any competitors to speak of, but we have enough players to play each other. Our team shirts are wearing out, and soon we'll be ready for another reprint after we compete in the Washington Senior Olympics later this month in Olympia. I love going into the gym now and letting go, running around like a kid, stealing the ball, going for the fast break. Love that. Throwing up wild three-point shots and even some hook shots. It's competitive and it's really fun. The sport also allowed me to express myself physically in ways that I wasn't taught as a nice girl, such as how to box out under the basket, setting a screen, and driving to the hoop. I found physical power that I didn't know that I had. Prioritizing play was one of the ways, through small nudges, that I started letting go and became more self-confident and connected with my friends. It was the physical movement itself that caused emotional movement. My team has become a mini covenant group with a comedic team captain getting us all riled up to play and encouraging us to laugh at ourselves, share in learning the game, and giving love and support to each other. The second guidepost that I want to share is cultivating laughter, song, and dance. Letting go of being cool and always in control. Here's a family secret. My college-age girls and I love to sing in harmony in the car to the Dixie Chicks. It's a source of embarrassment that I don't know how to play a musical instrument or even read music. But there are some safe situations when you can feel comfortable belting out a song like nobody's listening. The girls and I also had a lot of impromptu dance parties at our house. We'd put on a little Motown and get grooving as we made dinner. These singing and dancing opportunities are a hidden pleasure. And about the time I started to play basketball, I also attended a folk dance class here at UU through the ALPS program. Its initial attraction was that it was a form of dance that I hadn't tried before. Our patient instructors also had a great sense of humor and made us feel at ease. They taught many folk dances, Macedonian, Romanian, Hungarian, Greek, to name a few. And there was a slow rise of excitement in me as I started moving with the others in a line and feeling a connection with cultures that were so very foreign to me. Recently, I've gone on to attend other kinds of dances also, exploring contra, zydeco, waltz, swing, and a blues, even in a blues workshop recently. It was the movement combined with the music, intimacy, and connection that I hadn't felt free to explore in public before. Each time I would dance, someone would ask me if I'd been a dancer. And each time my answer would be, no, not really. Because I was still new with each of these particular dances that I was trying, I didn't feel confident with saying I was experienced. I wasn't. Most of the time, I spent more time apologizing for my lack of experience or clumsiness. Finally, I got tired of hearing myself downplaying my enthusiasm. I took a risk and started acknowledging my love for dance. And when I look back at my life, I'd realized I'd been a dancer all along. And maybe 5 or 6, my dad would put on Nancy Sinatra or Boots Randolph, and we'd pull out step stools and chairs, and me and my 2 sisters would have go-go dances. It was fun. And although I didn't have much formal dance training, as a young girl, I dreamed of becoming a dancer, Shirley MacLaine, or a ballet dancer. I did seek out ballet lessons a few times, and even took modern and ballet dances after moving to Port Townsend 20 years ago. I realized that just like basketball, what mattered most was that dance made me happy. I was far from perfect, but I was good enough. Now, my parents never came out and told me I couldn't do things. In fact, my dad was a primary source of me learning to play basketball, teaching me to dribble, well, not so well dribbling, but tennis, swimming, and he's the one that led the dance parties. But somewhere, I learned not to show myself and focus instead on appearances. Self-limiting messages can become a part of who we are, cultural, societal expectations. It can also be connected to shame. And recently, I was at the poorhouse with my other daughter, listening to a live band. And in talking about this upcoming sermon to her and the dance piece, I shook my head and commented, "You see those 2 women out there dancing freestyle? I don't want to be that." And I caught myself, "Ugh, I have learned nothing. I'm judging them." And she responded to me with, "Me too, Mom." She said, "I was looking at that girl there with the long boot socks, but the short shoes, and she thought, that's not right." Well, when we judge, it means that we are struggling with our own vulnerability or shame about something. Dance is something that I feel self-conscious about, so I judged the dancer. Maybe fashion was what my daughter felt self-conscious about. So I still struggle. And internal messages such as, "Well, who do you think you are? You must be pretty full of yourself. And don't flaunt it," still come up. It's still a work in progress. And as our minister, Bruce Bodie, said in a past sermon, We need to carry our humility in one pocket and our value in the other. Your imperfections are what make you unique and real. And I grew from feelings of being stuck and in isolation to connection with the support of my friends. Opening myself up to new possibilities and taking off the armor with friends caused a shift in attitude and allowed me to move to a more authentic self. And before I close, I want to share one more thing about posture. In basketball, my posture is up and open, right? In folk dance, as we move, we're locked arm in arm, moving from side to side in rhythm, also up and open. Partner dancing is much the same. Opening. I urge you to explore Amy Cuddy's TED Talk on how our body image shapes who we are, or her book titled Presence. I've also recently followed the example of some of my coworkers and can raise and lower my keyboard to a standing position. When we stand up with our chin raised and our chest out and posture, our brain gets the idea that we are strong and confident. So in dance and basketball and standing at work, I think I have grown more confident. I'd like to close with another quote from Howard Thurman. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. So be it.